This is The Guardian.
Today, what does the budget tell us about the election battle to come?
Today in Focus is supported by Rainforest Trust. In honour of this year's Earth Day, we're promoting Rainforest Trust's Brazilian Amazon Fund throughout April. Rainforest Trust is a 501c3 organisation, which means that 100% of all money donated goes directly to conservation efforts. The fund has already helped protect more than 6.5 million acres of rainforest habitat, but Rainforest Trust still needs to protect a further 13 million acres to reach its goal. You can help. Donate online at rainforesttrust.org/earthday this April, and your generous gift will be quadruple matched for the Brazilian Amazon.
Mr. Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Yeah. Madam Deputy Speaker, in recent times, the UK and the UK economy has dealt with a financial crisis, a pandemic, and an energy shock caused by war in Europe. Yet despite the most challenging economic headwinds in modern history, under Conservative government since 2010, growth has been higher than every large European economy.
Jeremy Hunt stands up on Wednesday. It's probably one of the most important days of his political career. It's certainly one of the most important budgets we've seen in quite a while.
And there are 800 more people in jobs for every single day that we've been in office.
The Guardian's Heather Stewart has covered her fair share of UK budgets. To her, Wednesday's event felt like a final roll of the dice.
Certainly the last time he'll get the chance to implement any policies that people will really feel in their pockets before they go to the ballot boxes. So it's quite an important political moment. The Tories are trailing 20-odd points behind in the polls, and he really wanted to try and do something that would change that story, give them something to say to voters on the doorstep.
But also because Conservatives know lower taxes mean higher growth. And higher growth means more opportunity, more prosperity, and more funding for our precious public services. But if we want that growth...
The Chancellor has hardly said anything.
So there was a real sense of, it's OK, we've sort of endured the worst, we've come out of it better than expected, stick with us and let's not endanger the recovery. And you also started to get a sense of what their messaging will be against Labour in the general election. So there was a sense of Labour will squander public money, you'll be better off with us.
And that is the difference with the party opposite. Their plans destroy jobs, reduce opportunities, and risk family finances with spending that pushes up taxes, instead of going back to square one.
The Chancellor took the moment to try to convince voters that Labour will set back the economy and that the Tories remain the only party that can be trusted with the nation's finances. But after 14 years, will the public buy it? From The Guardian, I'm Nisheen Iqbal. Today in Focus, the Conservatives' pre-election budget. Heather Stewart, you're a special correspondent for The Guardian. You've worked as political editor and economics editor for The Observer, and you've been covering Jeremy Hunt's budget. What were his big announcements?
Well, so there was this 2 pence cut in the national insurance contribution rate.
Employee national insurance will be cut by another 2p.
Which was much trailed beforehand, but is a sort of retail giveaway that the government can say, look, here's what you've won, here's why you should stick with us at the forthcoming general election. There were also some tax rises, in fact. Jeremy Hunt abolished a thing called the non-dom tax status. It's a bit geeky, but it's a thing that foreign-born individuals or people with a connection to another country can use to sort of cut their tax bills. In fact, we know Rishi Sunak's wife was using it until quite recently. So he got rid of that.
The government will abolish the current tax system for non-doms. I aim to please all sides of the House in all my budgets.
There were lots of bits and pieces of little pots of money for levelling up for different constituencies, loads of name checks for different parts of the country, battlegrounds where the Conservatives hope their local MP will be able to point to the speech and say, look, you know, Jeremy Hunt's given us a bit of money for this, bit of money for that. So it was, in a way, it was quite bitty. There was this overarching thing of, you know, we're going to give you a lovely tax cut. We'd like to do more, he said, on national insurance. We'd love to get rid of national insurance altogether if we could, he said.
Our long-term ambition is to end this unfairness. When it is responsible, when it can be achieved without increasing borrowing, when it can be delivered without compromising high-quality public services, we will continue to cut national insurance as we have done today, so we truly make work pay.
There were also lots of little bits and pieces which are all aimed at really them being able to make sort of political claims or put things on leaflets in the run-up to the election. And of course, that wasn't how he framed it. He framed it as, here's my plan for long-term growth and the economy is sort of getting back on track and, you know, here's how we can secure the future.
What was the story that Hunt was telling about how the Tories have managed the economy?
So he was quite upbeat. He talked about the number of jobs that have been created, 800 a day, apparently, since they came to power. He also tried to say that the reason the government could afford to help people to spend all that money during the pandemic with the furlough scheme and so on was because of the tight public finances, the way they'd managed the public finances in the previous 9-10 years.
It is only because we responsibly reduced the deficit by 80%. Between 2010 and 2019, that we could provide £370 billion to help businesses and families in the pandemic.
And, you know, let's not endanger the recovery that we've got by handing over to this sort of untested party opposite. That was the sort of message.
I thought they cared about people on the lowest incomes. But trust the Labour Party not to want to hear about debt.
A lot of what we heard was trailed across the papers over the last few days, but were there any surprises in what Jeremy Hunt announced?
Well, there weren't many surprises, to be honest. And in fact, I was surprised that there weren't more surprises, if that makes sense. Having covered a lot of budgets over the years, it was odd to me that the headline measures, really almost all of them, were trailed. He did announce something on child benefit, which we didn't know about. The government's going to look at assessing the whole household's income, because at the moment you could have two people earning £49,000 and you would get all of it, or you could have one person earning £51,000, you know, and you would start to have it taken away from you. Martin Lewis, the money-saving expert, has been campaigning and talking about this a lot and was sort of tweeting like mad about it. So I think that's something. And again, that's a thing for a particular group of voters, the government will be able to stand on the doorstep and say, look, you will get your child benefit back or you'll get some of your child benefit back. So that was a bit surprising. We also didn't know that there was going to be a bit of extra money. There's about £2.5 billion extra for the NHS, which is couched in this framework of we're going to use tech to make the NHS super efficient. And you
haven't heard that one before.
So in today's budget for long-term growth, I have decided to fund the NHS productivity plan in full.
Yeah.
With that new investment, we will slash the 13 million hours lost by doctors and nurses every year to outdated IT systems.
I don't know if you've had to deal with the NHS lately, but they certainly, and appointments and all of that sort of stuff, but there's still a lot of paper involved.
And of course, we support the fresh investment in our NHS. Although I have to note that the Chancellor, when he was Health Secretary, 10 years ago, promised to make the NHS paperless by 2018.
And he said, you know, we're going to do that with lots of other public services as well. And that's his answer to the question of, gosh, your spending plans look terribly tight. You know, isn't that going to damage public services? He tried to give us his answer, or the answer the Conservatives will give at the general election, I think, which was, we're going to spend money better.
And given how much we hear about public spending being completely stripped to the bone, how is Hunt funding these tax cuts?
So part of it is by increasing taxes elsewhere or increasing other taxes. So he's getting rid of the non-dom tax regime. That raises quite a lot of money, £2.7 billion in 5 years' time. And he's also getting rid of some tax reliefs that make it cheap for people to own holiday rentals. He's also keeping spending very, very tight after the next general election, and most economists would say implausibly tight. So you know, he's saying that public spending is going to increase by 1% in real terms after the general election. He's also using up some of the headroom that he had, you know, so his spending plans have to fit within these self-imposed fiscal rules. And the Office for Budget Responsibility is the body that assesses that. And last autumn statement, they said, he will meet the rules, but with about £13 billion to spare. Well, he's chewed up some of that. It's gone down to £8.9 billion, which the OBR have made a point of saying it's almost within the margin of error. It's not quite, but they've sort of said it's really uncertain. And if interest rates changed, or if he can't stick to his spending plans, or lots and lots of other ifs, that might turn out to be eaten up completely and you won't meet your rules.
And it's worth saying that those rules are entirely self-imposed, right, by the government.
Totally.
And they've changed several times over during
Absolutely.
The course of the last 14 years.
Absolutely, yeah.
Heather, last week you went to report from some Tory constituencies and you spoke to voters. Do you think that these announcements will resonate with the general public?
Yeah, so I did a little trip down the M3 out sort of southwest out of London through a bunch of constituencies that are all Conservative that were absolutely not the battleground in 2019 when we were all talking about the Red Wall hundreds of miles to the north. And I was just chatting to businesses and voters and candidates too. And you just got this really profound sense of disillusionment, disappointment. In lots of talk about Liz Truss, about Boris Johnson, about the mess the Conservatives have made, and also about, over and over again, the state of public services, the NHS. I can't get a GP appointment. You know, my high street looks run down. Just this real sense that, you know, the sort of fabric of life has been undermined over a really long period. It's not things that can be fixed by a couple more quid or even a couple of hundred quid or even 400 quid in their pocket in the next year, I don't think. Or that wasn't the sense that I got. And I also got a sense that people have just made up their minds that these guys can't be trusted with the economy anymore. That once they'd seen Kwasi Kwarteng's budget and Liz Truss's period in office and what happened to mortgage rates, that was a sort of moment where people changed their minds about the Conservatives. And it's very hard to unwind that, I think, even with a few pre-election giveaways.
Heather, taking all of that and taking the fact that people don't feel better off because they're not better off, you've got the idea that traditionally the Conservatives have been seen as a party of economic responsibility. How does that reputation stand up now?
You know, I spoke to a business owner in Winchester last week on this little tour that I did, who was clearly an instinctive Conservative supporter, but said to me they forfeited their right to govern. And that was his sense, that after the sort of craziness of Truss, and he sort of threw into that Boris Johnson and the Partygate and all of those things, you know, they just don't have the right to be in charge anymore.
Coming up, how the Tories have tried to use the budget to trip up the Labour Party.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes Monday and Thursdays.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Heather, it felt like a budget designed to set potential electoral traps for Labour and throw in some smears for good measure. What did you make of that?
It was definitely that. So Labour has been saying it will abolish non-dom status for some time. It's one of Labour's few tax-raising measures, and they were going to use that to spend on kids' breakfast clubs at schools, and on the NHS. Well, of course, Jeremy Hunt has now got rid of non-dom status and spent that money effectively. It's gone into his own spending plans. And in fact, he said Labour were going to raise this money and they were going to pour it into public services. I'm going to spend it on tax cuts. And Labour will now face the question, OK, so are you still going to do those breakfast clubs? Are you still going to spend that money? And if you are going to spend it, where are you going to raise the money from? Now, we might say these fiscal rules are kind of made up, they're self-imposed, they're effectively nonsense. You know, you should be able to make an argument for long-term investment and, you know, sort of exclude that from your rules. But Labour have effectively accepted the government's fiscal rules and said effectively that they too will bring debt down over 5 years. And therefore, they've colluded or they've accepted this same framework. So they will have to find some answer to this question. Do they try and raise a different tax? Do they find that money in some other way? Or do they scale back those plans, as they already have, of course, with their green promises? So this was really clearly slightly gleeful in the way that Jeremy Hunt did it.
That is money the party opposite planned to use for spending increases. But today, a Conservative government makes a different choice. We use that revenue to help cut taxes on working families.
The whole budget, I don't think Jeremy Hunt really does or should do jokes, but he did attempt quite a number. Well, one of them was about Keir Starmer's weight, which was really unfortunate.
I know he's been taking advice from Lord Mandelson, who yesterday rather uncharitably said he needed to shed a few pounds. Ordinary families will shed more than a few pounds if that lot get in.
There were also strewn through it these references. So there's been a lot of reporting about Angela Rayner having a former council house that was bought under the right to buy scheme and then sold. Jeremy Hunt went on and on about that when he was talking about this. He's changing the tax regime for second homes and for people buying multiple properties at the same time. He turned that into a great big gag against Angela Rayner.
So today I'm going to reduce the higher rate of property capital gains tax from 28% to 24%. That really is for you, Angela.
Jeremy Hunt owns a number of properties. So it's a nonsense, really. But you could hear Conservative MPs absolutely sort of braying like mad. And, I mean, this was the weirdest one. He talked about a sort of series of tax reliefs for sort of cultural things.
The new theatre reliefs may be of particular interest to the Shadow Chancellor.
He made some sort of gag about the fact that Rachel Reeves was acting like a Tory.
Like a thespian.
Like a thespian. It was just odd, frankly.
Like a Tory. The trouble is, we all know how her show ends. Higher taxes, like every Labour government in history.
Starmer also tried to use a sort of light touch. And when he was trying to make this point where he was contrasting real life outside with Jeremy Hunt's view of the economy, he talked about Hunt and Rishi Sunak as being the Chuckle Brothers of decline, which was a particularly retro reference.
Dreaming of Santa Monica or maybe just a quiet life in Surrey, not having to self-fund his election.
If Labour were doing this budget with the exact same set of economic circumstances, do you think they would have done much differently?
Well, that's a really good question. I would love to say that I think they would acknowledge the sort of grim state of the public services and the sort of emergency that we're facing with the climate crisis and with tackling sort of post-COVID problems in the economy and so on. And they would say, you know, here's a programme for long-term investment. Here's how we think it will actually yield benefits over the long term and why we think we can justify borrowing to do it. You know, we don't necessarily get the sense of that that's how they're going to run things. They clearly feel strongly that they have to stick to a similar fiscal script to the government, if not a similar script about how to run the economy. So in terms of tax and spending plans, you know, the jury's out a bit on that. We'll have to see what the details are in the manifesto in the run-up to the election. But at the moment, it seems like Labour is so determined to show that it's cautious and that it's sensible and it's not going to sort of, you know, ruin the public finances, that it might actually be quite careful about what it does in terms of extra spending.
Heather, given that we are expecting a general election this year and the Tories aren't expected to be governing or be in power by the end of the year, how does the budget and talk of cuts actually work? I mean, is this a fantasy budget? If Labour win, are they going to stick to that script that the Tories have laid out? I mean, can they just not rip up Jeremy Hunt's proposals and make their own?
Well, I don't think they're going to rip them up before the general election, certainly. They were very worried about this idea, which you do still hear from voters out there, that particularly older voters, you know, Labour would ruin the public finances, Labour would spend too much, they promise X, Y and Z, where would the money come from? That's still a thing you hear.
Despite what we've seen for the last decade.
Absolutely. Despite the fact that Jeremy Hunt can't really answer the question of where the money's coming from. In fact, the answer is he's borrowing a shed load of it. But, you know, somehow that question gets levelled at Labour with a different tone or in a different way. And they're really, really determined to avoid that. And so it feels like, for the time being at least, there are some things they're going to do in terms of sort of, you know, greening the energy system, in terms of improving the NHS and so on, where they have made spending pledges. But it doesn't feel at the moment as if the sort of trajectory for tax and spending will be wildly different under Labour to the Tories.
Heather, will this be the last Tory budget we see for a while?
I think it will. I think, you know, it's very hard to imagine the circumstances in which we still have a Conservative government next spring. There have been rumours at Westminster in recent weeks that perhaps Rishi Sunak could be thinking about a May general election. You know, maybe he thinks things aren't going to get much better and let's just go for it. I didn't get the feeling from this that Jeremy Hunt was delivering a statement that meant that, you know, Rishi Sunak's going to get his podium out in Downing Street tomorrow and say we're going to the polls. It felt like he might be, you know, laying the groundwork for more to come later in the year, perhaps. But, you know, that would be in an autumn statement. It wouldn't be in a full-on budget. And so, yeah, I think this could be the last budget we see from a Conservative Chancellor for quite some time.
Heather, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was The Guardian special correspondent, Heather Stewart. You can read all our budget coverage, including Heather's piece on the Tory voters that she met, all at theguardian.com. Before we go, please let me recommend to you a brilliant new series on artificial intelligence. It's called Black Box, and each episode follows a different story. Episode 2, which has just been released, is a mind-bending story about an investigation into a company called Clothoff. It generates deep fake porn images and has been causing havoc around the world. Search and subscribe to Black Box wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are released every Monday and Thursday. And that's it for today. I'm Nisheen Iqbal, and this episode was produced by George McDonough and Courtney Youssef. Sound design was by Adam Bransbury. The executive producer was Elizabeth Cassin. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.